Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Lux Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Lux Cafe.
Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC Studios, here is your host, Derek Pearson.
Brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul
on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Happy Monday, everybody. Appreciate you hanging out with us. It's a smoker here in Lincoln. I'm glad to be back. Been on the road for a bit. And of course, this week will be a strong week. Harrison, you and I will be spending a substantial amount of time together this week. As we head, and then next week we'll end up in Indianapolis for Big Ten Media. So we'll get our time in this week. And then next week, we will adjust accordingly. Kind sir. 424-645-6885 is the Sarda Hammond text line. If you have questions, want to be a part of what we're doing, in the streams, of course, Facebook, YouTube, and Allo Channel 961. You can find us on YouTube. The YouTube stream is wonderful if you want to just find a way to see, put faces to the voices. You can do so because tonight, Monday night as usual, it's Monday Night Football, and we bring in the coach. But first, we intro the man properly.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
M1.
That is the proper introduction. Let's bring him in. QB coach Barry Thompson. Coach, what's happening, brother?
Red beans and rice Monday, baby.
Hello. Red beans and
rice Monday. Let's go.
Hello. Hello. We haven't done that in a bit. We need to bring that back.
Yeah.
We need to bring back cooking with Coach Thompson. Walk me through red beans and rice at the Thompson household, kind sir.
Just to those who don't know, for some reason, it's a New Orleans tradition that Monday, way back in the day, was wash day. So if you think about big Sunday gatherings, there's probably some leftovers and things like that. And the wash day took most of the day, so they needed something to put on the stove, let it cook all day, and then eat. And so that's what we're told about the tradition down in New Orleans. Now, there's a lot of great ways to make red beans and rice. Take your pick. You can't really go wrong with it. But I'm going to tell you, this weekend or this week, I hit on one that I ain't never switching up. It is to make a stock before you cook the beans. And this stock contains whatever meat you want, whether you want your ham hocks in there or if you want smoked turkey bones, you put in your, I think the French call it the mirepoix, the carrots, the celery and the onion, maybe a little bit of thyme, a few peppercorns, and you let that billy cook down for about 4 hours. And once it cooks down, that meat that's on those bones, when it's cool enough to handle, you want to separate and keep that meat, get rid of the fat and the cartilage and all that stuff. Now, once that's done, you're ready to go in on your beans. You put your andouille sausage in the bottom. You let that fat cook off, which is flavor. Then you put your Holy Trinity in, which is your green peppers, your celery, and your onion. Right time, you add a little bit of garlic in there. You put your seasonings in there. You throw in that meat that you picked. You throw that on top. Throw your beans in, and here's the best part. Now, instead of just taking plain water, you're taking that stock, and you're pouring that in. You let your beans cook down. You get yourself a bowl of rice, a little parsley, some onions. Red beans and rice, baby.
Harrison.
Red beans and rice Monday.
Harrison, you ain't know he got down like that, did you?
I'm salivating right now. Right, I haven't eaten supper yet, so be careful.
Yeah. No, we had to bring that back. That, you know.
We didn't talk to Mary Ellen. He has some Louisiana roots, right?
Well, he's got New York roots, but his family, you know, black families from around the way. Came from other places and brought traditions and otherwise. And so cooking became a thing that in it. So here's the first question of the day. When are you coming to Lincoln?
Well, I tell you what, it's going to be sometime in August. I'm not coaching full time, so I'll make some plans to get here in August. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot to be done. There's a lot of people that want to meet you, and there's a lot of folks to take you to and to have some of those conversations, because I know one, at that point, some of the high schools are doing work, and it makes it a little bit easier for us to get around and kind of show you what the quarterbacks are doing, what the young folks are doing in that space. And I think it would be exceptional to do. I think it would be a really good thing.
I will start making plans the next couple of days and communicate with you on that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, we'll get you down, let you take you to the Salt Dogs, let you see what's going on around the way.
Yeah.
And then meet some of the folks who want to pick your brain and maybe come down here. It's that time of year, Barry Thompson, for families, different levels of football. NFL training camp starts this week. Later in the month, colleges start to have those discussions. What are the coaches doing right now, Barry Thompson? What's the thing? What are you doing in this stretch before all chaos break loose?
I'm not a fair guy to ask because of my business always ran into the season. So I was, you know, right up to the wire training and everything else, and then flipped right into coaching. But what I noticed is more than a few of the high school coaches like to take that little breather, right? That 2 weeks before camp starts, that maybe 2 weeks out, take the 1 week, come back and start to organize. But most of them, post the 15th, like to figure in a couple 7 days where they get away, sometimes it's staff, you know, to kind of figure things out, get themselves organized, and get themselves ready for when practice starts up on the around here August 5th.
Let me ask you about a version or a portion of improvement season rather than off season. That 7-on-7 in a lot of pockets of the country becomes the de facto training mechanism for a lot of football programs and a lot of football players. As coaches, there's a certain use of 7-on-7 and how people process what they're going to do. What are the benefits, Coach Thompson, for offensively? Using 7-on-7, what are you trying to – it's not just making throws and making – what are the priorities for 7-on-7 having value to high school and college coaches and programs?
There you go.
Right, like I – but you – like but I and I let it lay there for a reason. Because so much of what I see on social media – and what I get from coaches is that, this is what we're doing. And I'm trying to understand what it is that they think is happening or what it is they're telling people is happening, when the reality is the time spent between July 15th and August 15th or July 15th and August 7th is so valuable to success in season that I don't understand why this stretch of 3 weeks isn't so defined in what you're trying to add to the utility belt, what you're trying to add to the mentality, what you're trying to add to the culture, that these 3 weeks are being thrown away by playing pitch and catch.
Let me, and I'll speak on, I was being kind of funny. Anybody who's playing 7-on-7, they could. Here's my answer. They could give me a list of things that tell me that 7-on-7 is good, and I wouldn't argue with anything on that list. But I would look at that list, and I could go down it, and I would see that none of those things relate to what you have to do as a quarterback in the fall. So for me, being in the development business, I have a hard time understanding why I would spend time on 7-on-7 because it's not relating to what's going on in the fall. Just take the mere fact that the quarterback has 4 seconds to throw. Like, that don't happen in a game. Typically, a quarterback has to take some pre-snap understanding and process his first decision within 1.5 seconds. So where is that being done? Secondly, and this is another caveat, this is probably one of my pet peeves about it, is when somebody asks me if they're going to play 7-on-7, I go, are you doing it with your teammates? And they go, no, I'm on some other team. And I said, well, wouldn't your team be better if you spent time with them? So it takes you away from your team in some cases. Then in other cases, you're running an offense that isn't your offense. So you just start with those basic parameters and you start to see that there's an opportunity cost to playing 7-on-7. And let me finish the point. So now you know that it doesn't relate to the fall. All right, but I want to have fun and I still want to do it. I bring up a quote that from Larry Bird, who said that most of the time you're better off practicing than you are playing. He said, but most people don't understand that. So let's go into 7-on-7. Let's say you know you have a weakness of throwing to your closed side. You're right-handed. You're not as consistent as you need to be throwing to your left. You get into a 7-on-7 format, maybe over the course of 4 games, that comes up twice. Whereas you could stay at home and work on that 50 throws on Saturday, 50 throws on Sunday, and you could work on something else. And you tell me which one's going to make you better.
Coach,
last point.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Let me finish. I'm on a roll. The last point is those defenses that you face in 7-on-7 are two types, man free or two man under. You do not play against those defenses in the fall. So what are we doing?
So through it all, one, let's start in the space that you just cast a die. That you're not playing, you're not throwing to your receivers often. And if you are, then I ask the question, are you using the same language that you would use in the fall while you're playing pitch and catch in the summer? Shouldn't I mean, isn't there a way to implement the things that are there? And you can self-set your own clock, right? That, listen, I don't care what they give you. They give you 4 seconds. We work from 1.5 seconds. Get efficient in that time.
Yeah, so if you're running your stuff with your team, right, then you would just run your stuff. There are teams that are disciplined. They'll go at a 7-on-7, and they say, we don't care what they're running. We're running our stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And you make the calls that you would make in the certain down-and-distance situations, kind of ignore the score. Tough to do. Everybody gets competitive. But there are teams that will do that. Right. This is how we play. And here's why we're looking at this for this reason. But, you know, you see 7-on-7 is just about so many other things, you know, the swag and the jumping up and down. And I know that stuff is fun. And really, I mean, I think kind of some silly colors and everything else. And that's fine. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? That's okay.
Get off my lawn, Barry Thompson.
I know, but don't think that that's helping you to get better in the fall. And let's add this one more thing. Receivers running across the middle of the field with impunity in 7-on-7. No fear whatsoever that somebody's about to get clocked.
That was the natural progression, right? That, okay, for quarterbacks, verbiage, timing, I think missed in this whole thing is the visual. The visual clarity required to throw footballs in the fall amongst a mass trafficking, high resistance, high friction, high risk, high reward framework of 22 people all in front of you and beside you, dancing around you, falling at your feet and otherwise.
And to your point, DP, the last programs, the coaches, I think, are more and more morphing to, for a practice standpoint, more of an 11-on-11 7-on-7. That is, they're controlling what the interior linemen are doing, but they're doing something. And the other thing, in addition to the picture, it's different when people are at your feet and you're throwing the ball. So in our training right now, what we focus on when we're doing things, it's kind of similar stuff that we're doing, but we just kind of make sure there's somebody always around the quarterback, maybe just stand an inch from them, or we duck down below them, right? Because that's a different feel when things are at your feet, right? And you have to be, sometimes you have to learn how to be committed to throws, or sometimes you're going to take a whack, right? And you have to understand under what circumstances are you going to take this hit, right? That's also part of learning too. So yeah, you go to 7-on-7, none of that gets done.
Barry, through some of this, right, that a big part of quarterback friction, whether it be 7-on-7, 11-on-11, no contact, some contact, full contact, is the visual. And I heard a defensive coach speaking to this, so I needed to ask you about it, that his mission was to change the quarterback's throwing slot via pressure.
Right.
That he wanted to, if I can get the quarterback off his spot.
Right.
The first spot that he chooses. Second, I need to change his vision. I need to lower his eyes, raise his eyes, right, make his eyes go left or right, one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. I need, when he takes that final step, mm-hmm. that I need for that throwing angle that he needs to throw through a dirty window with a mm-hmm. lot of traffic. How right. is that addressed, and how do you coach around that?
You just identified my partner in the chess game. So while he's working on that, I'm working with quarterbacks on a very simple drill called find the window.
Mm-hmm.
That is, as they drop back, we'll have a guy just approach them in their direct eyesight of where we know they're going to throw the ball. And so now the quarterback's implementing those little subtle steps to find the window, not changing the rhythm of the drop. Right. But, you know, the idea that something's coming at him and he's got to move subtly one way or the other to find that window to throw. So we work with the quarterbacks on that. It's a really kind of undervalued skill because, you know, guys always talk about quarterbacks, how tall they are. And what you don't realize is that there's people of varying heights that play the position and they never ask themselves, how is that done? Well, the way that it's done is that quarterbacks don't throw over people. They throw through windows, little narrow slots in which they can see and do things. That's why a guy 6'6 can play the position and a guy 5'9 or 5'10 can play the position.
Well, this is the next question, kind sir, that, wait a minute. when you get quarterbacks, you never get them when they're 6'3". You get them when they're 5'6", 5'7", and train them through whatever height they're going to be. Like, right. It's never a matter of, like we talked about all the metrics that people want to coach from. Oh, this dude checks all the boxes and he's already tall. He's already rangy. Well, no, right. Not when you develop them. They're not.
No, they're little. And that's the thing about what I do is like, I don't really look. All I need is a guy who wants to get on football field and get better. That is my jam. You know, as much as you do this radio thing and you do it well, my jam is getting on the field with somebody who wants to get better. How tall he grows, how big he gets, how good he becomes. You're right. You know, I don't ever know. And then the process kind of continues. And sometimes they grow up to be this big, strong dude. And, you know, he can wing it. Sometimes they call it the little skinny dude who can wing it. But at any rate, if I'm with him long enough, I hope that I give him the tools that he needs to go out and play the position.
Yeah, that thing about radio is that I've never once had to worry about any of those other metrics. Other than, do you? Here's that thing, right? That mm-hmm. IQ to me is the level of constant and consistent curiosity about the things around you and how they work. That to me, that again, the kid that walks out with a rocket arm with no curiosity about how the game is going to be played around him or affecting him doesn't do. He's not of much value to me, right?
No.
As a quarterback coach, that the kid that won. Would they say 50% of the battle was won just by showing up? Okay. Right. Are you going to show up for the work? And then if you work hard in it, you're going to beat another 30% of the people. And then the 20% becomes the matter, the accumulation of all the other stuff you've learned in the space. Barry, I'd ask you, what is the first question you ask a young person who comes to you saying, hey, I want to be a better quarterback?
I just say, let's get to work. I mean, I don't ask him any questions. Now, you know me, you know, after sessions, I'm going to ask some questions about grades, mm-hmm. and, you know, that type of thing. But mm-hmm. yeah, it's like, let's get, you know, and I have it sometimes. I don't blame them. Sometimes parents, hey, they'll talk about them. I always say this to parents when they call me up. I'll say, hey, tell me about your future first round draft pick, you know, because I, right? And they'll begin to tell me everything about the kid. And as they get into it, they'll say, hey, do you want me to send you some clips? I go, no, I don't need to see any clips. Just bring them on out. Let's go, right? Let's just bring them out. Let's go.
And see, Barry knows that's kinda a trigger. He knows that's a trigger for me. He knows that. Listen. In the full range of things that make me crazy is that if you're going to go through all the work, go through all the training, show me video of your practice more than you show me the three throws you made where there was a completion made and without context.
Yeah. And to pick up on your point, when these quarterbacks make their highlights, a lot of the guys, the young guys don't understand. One, that's just your business card. You met somebody, they said, hey, I'm looking for a quarterback. You say, I'm a quarterback, and you hand them the business card. But once, if they're interested in you, they're going to go in. And I always say it's this. When you produce your highlight, that's you cleaned up on a Saturday, smelling fresh, not too much cologne on, just the right of it. You got your best fit, and you're cleaned up, and you're ready to go out on a date.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
They want to know what you look like on a Sunday morning when you get up and your hair is tousled up, right? Who are you then, right? So it does matter all the time what you're doing and how you're doing things. And that stuff just comes out in the wash, and you meet a guy, you meet them, and you kind of know right away whether they're locked in, whether they're becoming locked in. I'll tell you, DP, just today at our old high school,
mm-hmm.
I met this guy, I'd seen him a couple times, and I was just really curious about him. I go, what's your name? And he goes, John. And I said, John, what's your last name? He told me. And he had an Air Force Academy shirt on. He was, you know, that's why he drew my eye. I said, where are you going to school? He says, I applied to all three service academies. I go, holy crap, right? You can just spot these dudes. Spot them. Mm-hmm. Spot them.
Yep, it's there. We'll throw it right when we come back. Barry, I want to ask you about this thing that, you know, What do college coaches want to see in your film? And because so many moms, dads, players have no idea what to put in the height. They don't know how long to make it. They don't know what throws to put in. There's lots of it in play. We're going to go to the guy who has to go through this with them, Barry Thompson, here on One-on-One.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back, One-on-One on a Monday again. Thank you for hanging out with us. If you have questions, go ahead and hit them up on the text line. For your young people, it's always good to have just those questions answered. Coach Barry Thompson with us, and we're talking in the grand scheme of things that in quarterback play, and of course this time of year, where it is an improvement area if the time is utilized productively, if it's effective. And a part of this now is where juniors and seniors heading into their high school next seasons have that curiosity about what's next for them, and a big part of it is putting together video highlight reels, video. And I try not to call them highlight reels, I want them, as you said, it's a business card. But to go through the process of how to be with Huddle, et cetera, folks will go through. They have access to their game film. And then what they put together in those films, those collectives that allow coaches to become interested in them. What should be put in?
So two parts. It is a business card. So a lot of kids will fail to identify who they are. Right, what year they're graduating, what position they play, what school they go to. So on those first slides, identify who you are, what position you play, what school you go to, those types of things. That second slide, now you need to also provide some information. Your head coach's contact information. Mm-hmm. If I'm interested in you, at some point your head coach is going to be involved in the process, make it easy for that person on the other end. Now, to the highlights themselves, you have about 45 to 60 seconds to catch somebody's eye. They're going to filter these things very quickly. You know, camp, invite to camp, look at them, follow them, offer, right? And these are people that know what their parameters are. So you want to first put a highlight up there. Some kids don't put highlights up front. Now, of the highlights, what college coaches like to see is things that they may have you do. So there's about 10 throws that if you have them available to you, you want to put them on. And I say 10 because each play should be about 6 seconds,
yep.
Right? You got to trim those clips. I don't need to see you breaking the huddle, you know, stomping your feet, resetting of information, making a call. They want to see the ball in your hands, the ball leave your hands, and that's it. If they're evaluating, they don't need to see the guy run 80 yards with a 20-yard pass. So here's a touch throw long, a touch throw long, meaning – that it's not just a deep pass, but it's a deep pass where you put the ball where it needed to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of guys, he may be covered, but you moved him from the top of the numbers to the bottom numbers, whatever that case may be. A touch throw short, meaning for most people that's some type of screen, right? Guys are coming in, defenders are coming in, maybe you're retreating, and you get the ball to go up and down. You want a velocity throw over the middle. A lot of high schoolers don't work the middle of the field. It takes velocity. It takes timing to get into those areas. So your end cuts, your curls, those things would be great. You want to see an out throw, typically because it will demonstrate some type of arm strength, especially with the width of the high school hashes. It takes some arm strength and timing to get it. And it's a basic pass that they don't want to teach you how to complete. You want an athletic run. If you have it, athletic, it doesn't mean that you run out of bounds and it's a significant first down that you got. People are hooping and hollering, but athletic, if you broke somebody's ankles, if you broke them down, if you dead legged them, as Jay was talking about in the list, and you got around, that's an athletic run. You also want to see a physical run, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes quarterbacks run dart or QB power and they run it up in there. And there are quarterbacks who can finish runs. They'll truck defensive backs. You want to see them escape from the pocket. Hey, there's pressure. Time's running out. Boom, I'm up and out or whatever the escapes we work on. You want to see a scramble throw, right? Can you extend a play, make a play on the run? You want to see a throw under pressure. Pocket's getting tight. You hang in there. You're committed to the throw. Boom, you let it go. It's a completion. You get bopped. And then finally, if you have it, a clutch play. A clutch play will be really understood. I had a kid last year, had a great one. He was on the right hash. You don't even know that you need the game. You could see everybody was around the field. He was 3x1 to the field. He was on the right hash. He dropped an absolute laser to the outside receiver on the other side. And you can see everybody go crazy, right? So if you have those things, that's what you want to put in your clips. If you don't have them, put as many of those things as you can up front. And then just work with what you have. But that would be an ideal list, 6 seconds each, 10 throws, that's 60 seconds. That would show a college coach that you have the ability to make the throws and run and do all the things that they're looking for in a quarterback.
Barry, how much value is there in the quarterback identifying down distance formation in the video?
Oh, you mean – Well, I think that might come up in a clutch situation,
right? That you would describe. Here's what this was like. I kind of know what I was doing.
Help him out a little bit, but and I've seen people do that. You know, hey, here's a throw under pressure, kind of warn him. Here's a throw under pressure, And now the guy knows he's looking at it. I don't think that's a bad thing, but just make sure it's a highlight.
Let's go through it in a slightly different direction, because one of the things that you do really well is breaking down film. And I think that in the recruiting game nowadays, and I know it's true for receivers, to have the conversations where the receiver explains what I'm up against, what coverage I see, et cetera.
Right.
For a quarterback on film to take a critical moment and put it on film and break it down in film study, it's a thing that, you know, quarterbacks in the NFL draft going from college to pro have to do it. Right. What do you have here?
Yeah.
What you see down and distance situation, circumstance. Right. Tell me what you saw. Tell me what you did. Is there value in that for the high school quarterback trying to get into college?
Absolutely. I've been doing this. The high school that I'm working with, they have a QB summer project. And the QB summer project is, as I'm learning their offense, we've gone through every single game. I've highlighted 3 to 6 clips. I'm breaking down the play, what was doing, where the coverage, where the concept was attacking. I'm breaking it down, and I do that to give them a template so that when they go into huddle, they can look at another play in that group, break it down the same way, put it in their notebook. So now you realize I'm breaking it down for them. They were at the game last year. Mm-hmm. I'm breaking it down for them. They're looking at it, and then they're looking at it again, and they're writing it down. You darn bippy that's these guys. I had one of them say, "Hey, this is a whole new offense." It was like, well, that's the same offense. You starting to understand where the pieces are on the chessboard, you know?
No, it's not new.
He actually said it. Great kid. And they realized that they have a great offensive coordinator that almost every one of these clips, there's somebody open. And so, you know, they're beginning to understand, okay, how do I kind of work myself to the space? And I talk to a lot of young quarterbacks in real simple terms. I talk to them in terms of deep coverage and underneath coverage. And I talk to them in terms of, you know, where are we attacking? Where's the space, right? Do we have the ability to attack the space that the defense is giving us? Very simple to kind of figure out what's going on, right? And figure out where do you want to put your eyes and what you want to do with them and why you're doing them. So I can talk a lot of middle field open, I can talk about fire zones and stuff like that. That stuff will come later once they have an understanding of how to look at the film, which I think is sometimes missed.
Barry, through all of it, that sometimes these tasks get shared by parents and buddies on the team without a real understanding of what you're really trying to accomplish from it, right? So there are different things that are in play. Read, eyes in the right place. Hip placement, foot placement, quarterbacks playing, whether it be from the ground up or from the head down. All right. Some get, look, the feet are frozen because of what happens in the brain. Right. And it's not free in that. How do you deal with those things? Is it individual?
Sometimes, DP, I swear you're around. I was just on the field this morning. So there was a with this one high school, there's a play call where they isolate the weak side linebacker, right? He's in a pinch. So he has a route coming in on him and a back swinging, and it just isolates him. So the quarterback got up. I said, give me the call. And we just had the guy run the swing pattern, and he knew enough to kind of look in the direction of the linebacker and then reset his feet and throw. Like, that's the timing of what he would be doing. And I said, okay. I said, so I'm going to be your read now. So I'll get over there and be the linebacker. And so I would just take a drop. Now, everything he was going to throw was going to throw the swing. There was no other receiver. But I wanted his eyes to be on me and then reset. Once I was comfortable in that, I started moving around a little bit, right? Started moving up, you know, so that he would pay attention to what I was doing. And what I noticed is the running backs were looking at the guy snapping the ball. And I said, wait a second. What do you have to look at, right? And they go, well, I should be looking at the linebacker. I said, yeah, because if he comes, I said, what's going to happen? They go, oh, the ball might be coming sooner. I said, yes, don't change your path. That stays the same, but you should be looking. So we covered that, get their eyes right, and then now it's time to mess with them. The ball got sent. I ran right at the quarterback, and his first reaction was to jump back, which is a human reaction. Mm-hmm. And I said, son, you can't do that. I said, your first reaction is the back's not covered. So those things don't develop naturally. Take time on the field, and you're talking about breaking it down. This is just a backside of one play in their playbook, right? But now he's got a better understanding. Hey, there's a specific guy who may trigger a reaction out of me. Here's a reaction I need to make. And so as much as you can, you keep going that way until you build an understanding. It's one thing to tell somebody something, but if you help them understand what it is they're trying to read or learn, then their smarts take over.
It's so much in it, because and literally, Harrison, just for the sake of this, a lot of this are the same conversations you have with whatever position group you're leading. And because of that, you can get on the same page, quarterbacks and receivers, mm-hmm. that, listen, Barry's working on these things from that perspective. I need to, one, make the people he's going to throw to effective. But second of all, I have to understand what he's teaching them and when he's teaching them, because I can't have my guys behind his guys. I need for them to develop at the same level, so that when Barry teaches them to step up, get it out of their hand, take the layup, I need for my guys to know that that's what Barry's teaching his guys to do.
And build on the DP, even the little simple thing, when these guys were running, now they weren't all running backs. These were just kids that came out and they were doing extra work, right? So, but to me, it doesn't matter. If you're out here running, I got to help you. So when they were running the swing route, they weren't getting as wide as you wanted them to be. So I had to go on the field and say, there's, you know, the fields are multi-purpose fields. They have all those rings on them. And I said, you know, if you catch the ball here, that linebacker's going to have a chance to tackle you. Then there's another ring. I said, if you catch it here, he probably still can make a play for no loss. But if you catch it here by the top of the numbers, oh, baby, you're running a long way. And so just explaining that to them, the next several passes came out to the width, and they could even feel it, right? Because I got a route coming in that's going to occupy a defender if I get outside of that, right? So talking, it's one thing. But taking the time when you have it, being on the field, explaining it, then all of a sudden you get a lot of smart players.
That, you know, this is the time where football IQ increases or it doesn't. It is a balloon. That you want to go into training camp with a full balloon or with an empty balloon? And there are a lot of people that want to say, you know what, I need to deflate my balloon before I go in and do this real work. I think it's the opposite. I think you need to expand it, and that's how you make it work. I want to talk about this, the verbal part of it, Coach, that so many players, so many quarterbacks do not practice play calls. And it's the language and learning the language. We'll talk about that with Barry Thompson on One-on-One.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Final segment before we hand it over to DeMornay Pierce-Chanel here on The Ticket for Ticket Weeknights in the Don't Punt Hour. Barry Thompson with us before we finish out One-on-One. Kind sir, that in this time of year, there has been just a wave of throws and catches and route running and understanding, right? We lift, be stronger. But the verbal part gets left behind. How do? What's the correct way to
ready?
Get this
done? I got a call for you. Ready?
Give it to me.
Ready?
Give it to me.
Green right X, shift to Viper right, 382 X tick looky.
Got it.
Right? And it should roll off a quarterback's tongue. And not only just the call, but he should have a picture in his head of what that call is. Most calls are broken down by formation. You got to get people lined up. Mm-hmm. Two, if you want them to move around, then you got to give them a signal that you're going to move around. Then next is it a run or a pass play? And then if it is a pass play, what's the play? So you go green, right, X is a formation, right? The X indicates that the Y and the X are changing. You got shift to Viper right, which is a five empty formation. And you right, you can kind of guess the three are on the right, not the left. And then you call your pass protection 382. The three stands for it's a three-step drop, which helps the linemen understand how long they need to protect. 82 is the protection side, man zone on the left. And then you have X stick, which is your play side concept. And you have lookie on the back side. So it seems like a lot. It can be a lot, especially if you haven't done your homework, but you got to get into your verbiage, right? That's the other thing with these quarterbacks that I'm working with, that they are reacquainting themselves with the language of making their calls, right? And when I have them on the field, that thing I was telling you today. Mm-hmm. We weren't just throwing swing passes. I go, give me the call. Mm-hmm. Give me the call. Make the call. I need your cadence, right?
That, so even, now we're that can be now, done even with one receiver out there.
And it, you DP, you'd be proud of me. It was done with one receiver.
See, yeah, you know.
Right. Yeah. So those things are important. It's this time of year, your refinement, you're getting in. As I told my quarterbacks, I said, look, this is your least busiest time of the year. Take advantage of it. You know, this is a time where a high school quarterback, I told two quarterbacks today, I said, you need to sign a contract with yourself. And once you sign it, you cannot negotiate. And I said, here's the deal. You need to develop a daily huddle habit. I said, I don't care what it is. It might be one clip and I'm breaking it down and I'll put it in my notebook. But whatever it is, don't negotiate with yourself. Don't do three on Saturday and then Sunday wake up and say, well, I did three. I don't have to do any Sunday or Monday. No, every day you need to do this. So these are the things that get refined. Thrown at their feet, right? A lot of guys just out there running. Like I said, our training session now, we're putting a lot at their feet, putting bodies around them, putting sight lines. We, you know, can have five guys, like a half line, kind of take a pass set, and it becomes a different thing. So all those little things are important.
Through all of it, Barry, that in the end, what you're trying to do is create a line of communication that's consistent and a standard for work. Yes. Those are simple, right? That standard of communication and standard of work both yes. will dictate that in this time, this is when people advance. It is, in yes. fact, time to improve.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I found with some young guys at DP, they need they you can tell them about it, but if they don't know how to go about doing it, sometimes they need a little help, right? So that group I was with this morning, you know, I think they had a better understanding of, hey, when we get to the field by ourselves, what do we do, right? Like, how do we organize? Who's in mm-hmm. control, right? Yep. Those types of things. And sometimes guys need a little help in that direction for all manner of everything that we just talked about. So it's one thing to tell them to do it, but there's also another level where, smart as they are, sometimes they need a little help understanding how to do it.
I, you know, there's so much great depth to it. BT, it is appreciated because you make my head not hurt watching people just move in weird spaces without purpose or mission. Thank you for what you do and how you do it, kind sir. We'll do it again next Monday, kind sir.
Yes, and real quick, say hey to my boy. I got two Terrapins at that conference, so I think they're going to be there. Billy Edwards, University of Maryland,
yep.
and Caleb Wheatland.
Yep.
Tell Jay to put his eyes on Caleb Wheatland, linebacker.
And that's what we're going to do. Big Ten Media coming up next week. BT, thank you, kind sir.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
That'll be it for One-on-One. Don't Punt Hour with DeMorne Pearsonell coming up on 93.7 The Ticket.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're due for your biannual cleaning, something you usually forget and would rather not remember. But you just got a reminder from the dentist you look forward to seeing. The Gentle Dentist, the only dentist you're happy to come back to. The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. How can we make you smile? Call 614-431-3311.